Hello, beautiful Wimberley people.
Thank you.
Yeah. I have really been looking forward to being with you for quite some time prior to this new change in my life. So I look at this title, and you're absolutely right. I mean, I am knee-deep in it. I'm neck-deep. Not over my head, neck-deep. So I have thought about what I would share with you and how I would share it with you. And so I've decided to share my personal story, which is something I have just recently begun to share. Before I get into my personal story, let me just say this. Here we are in the 2012 year and all the hullabaloo around that and all the changes that are taking place. And we hear the phrase over and over again, we're in a time of unprecedented change, you know. It's like, well, we are. We're in a time of accelerated change. There's so many new things coming through technology that every 18 months, everything shifts. So there's no way we can predict and control what the future is going to be because there's always something new that is coming to impact it. Research has shown that it's possible we could live to be 200 years old. And that they are unlocking the keys between medical advances and what they're discovering about the human body and technology, that everything is going to shift. And we look into our world and we see so many systems that are breaking down or reconfiguring. We have an economic system that's really in a state of chaos at the moment. We look at our governments, we look at our climate, we look at all various areas of institutions that we have relied upon our whole lives, and they're in the process of breaking down and reconfiguring. So I want to say this. All this is happening because we've asked for it. We have. We've asked for it. We've asked for it because those of us who've been on the spiritual path, those of us who've been learning to let go and let God, who've been striving to know more about the nature of reality and who we are and why we are here, have brought on this change. And I believe we are reaching the point of critical mass where the external must reflect the internal. Because we know spiritual principle says first it comes from consciousness. It comes from consciousness and then it outpictures. So the world as we have known it is behind where we are in consciousness. Not everyone, but I feel those of us who are on the spiritual path and who have been working with spiritual principles for some time see the world and its reflection back to us is behind where we are. So the critical mass is coming, is here. And things are beginning to change to reflect the higher order. So how did this come about? Here's where my personal story comes in. Let me just say this. My personal story is mine. You have yours. So this is not about comparison. This is not about this is what you need to experience. This is just what I have experienced. When I found unity, my whole world opened up. I felt, wow, the world's not happening to me. I have some power here. So I studied unity principles, and I really just threw my whole life into it. And I found unity in a small, small, small church on the big island of Hawaii. Very, very tiny. There were six of us on the first day that I went. Okay? And we grew to 30. But we were mighty. So I had an understanding of unity principles. And over the years, things happened in my life where I came to the conclusion that I wanted to go to ministerial school. I wanted to dedicate my life to unity because unity had changed my life and had given me so much happiness. But there was this one thing I didn't understand. I didn't understand the heart. Everybody's talking about the heart energy. What is the heart energy? Well, I understood mind. We shape things with mind. And I understood the law of manifestation. Thought creates the feeling, which creates the manifestation. But what's heart got to do with it? So I made up my mind that by the time I left ministerial school, that I would know what the heart was all about. So I had the goal of getting ordained and getting employed, but also had this personal goal. I had been in school maybe 6 months, and I had been working at Silent Unity. This was what I did in the afternoons after I went to class, when I had a most unusual experience. I was driving that afternoon to a classmate's house. We were working on a joint project together when the bottoms of my feet began to itch. Don't you just hate it when that happens? Oh, and I'm driving, and And then suddenly, I was having difficulty breathing. It was like this huge pressure was in my chest. So then my mind began to fill in the blanks of all the unknowns, and I thought, oh my God, I'm having a heart attack. And the circulation's been cut off to my feet, and that's what's happening. So I pulled over on the side of the road and sat there for a moment, and then that subsided. So I go, wow. I finally get myself together. I drive over to Mary Lou's house. I go up the steps, and I knock on her front door, and she opens the door, and I said, Mary Lou, I just had the strangest experience. And when I said that, whoosh, this energy engulfed me, and I was standing with such heat coming out of my body. I said, I've got to sit down. And I sat down in a chair, and I had on a pair of jeans and a great big leather belt with a big brass buckle. This was back in the day, you know. So, I ripped that belt off. I mean, the buckle came off. And I laid down in the floor. And when I laid in the floor, I began to feel currents of energy moving through my body, but particularly from my chest and down my arms and out the palms of my hand, both hands. And Mary Lou just said, you're really hot. So she would go get cold towels and put them behind my neck. And I'm just laying there experiencing this. Now, I've always been practical and one that's in charge of my life, right? So after a while, I'm thinking, it's enough of this. I've got to get to work. And I set up, and it's like this hand went ka-thunk. I'm laying back down there. This experience went on for about 30 minutes. Finally, when I was able to kind of come back to some semblance of normal, I get in my car, and I drive home, and I call Silent Unity. I'm going to be a few hours late. I think I need some rest. When I got to Silent Unity, that night they were evaluating me. They had been listening to my prayers and my supervisors. And I didn't know this was coming up. But what I remember is sitting across the table from this woman, and I could see her aura. I'm not one who sees auras. And there it was. And she's telling me all this stuff. I'm going, uh-huh. I got it, you know. That went on for about 3 days. And so I remember seeking out an instructor there that I trusted. And I shared my experience with her. And I said, what do you think this is about? And she says, well, it sounds like your heart chakra opened. And I go, and I knew all about the chakras. Well, I won't say that. I'd heard about it. I didn't know anything about it, you know. But I knew about it, and I knew that it was an Eastern term. And so I set out to learn about the chakra system and what that meant. Okay, so let's just fast forward a little bit. And years later, I find myself at Unity of Fairfax. By this time, I'm ordained. I've already gone through a couple of years as an associate minister, and now I'm a co-senior minister there at Unity of Fairfax. And I'm standing in the foyer of our old building, and the thought occurs to me, I don't know what joy is. My life's a big to-do list. Got this accomplished, tick it off, add something to the bottom. Tick it off, add something to the bottom. I had a great sense of accomplishment. Everything I had set out to accomplish, I had accomplished. Life was great. Why wasn't I feeling my life? Why wasn't there joy? I asked that question consciously. About 6 months later, I wake up in the middle of the night, and I am grieving. And as I'm waking up, I come to completely, And I'm not grieving anymore. The feeling has subsided. And so I think I just had a bad dream. I can't remember. I don't think anything about it. This experience began to repeat itself over the course of about 8 months to a year. Periodically, I would wake up grieving as if my heart was broken. So finally, I would kept trying to figure out what this was, but I had learned to stay in the dream state as I began to question it. And so one night, I'm waking up in the middle of the night, and I'm going, oh, this is familiar. I know this. And I said, what? What is it? And this voice said, I feel so unloved. That blew me away. That blew me away. And I said, what? I said, well, that time I was married, so my husband loves me, my mother loves me, my church loves me, my cat loves me. You know, what is this? I feel so unloved. So I began to pray and meditate around this experience that I was having. And a lot began to happen in my life, a lot of upheaval and breaking apart, deep change. I know we throw around the term paradigm shift a lot, but I'm telling you, this was a deep paradigm shift for me. And I began to see that the I that was so unloved was my own inner self. It was my Christ self, my divine self, my essence, my true self, which was, again, I didn't understand it because I loved the Christ. I understood the Christ principle. I dedicated my life to it after all. But yet, this message was, I feel so unloved. So that started me on a journey of many years to discover how I had abandoned myself in order to care for others, in order to just deal with life in general. And little by little, the self began to awaken. And as it began to awaken, the first thing I experienced was tremendous pain. It's like when you're frozen, you know, and you have a little bit of frostbite kind of on your hands, and then you come in out of the cold and you're trying to warm up. It hurts at first. There was a lot of pain, but eventually that pain gave way. And today I feel tremendous joy. Today I am in touch with my feelings and I feel fully integrated pretty much as a result of what I've gone through. Now, I share this story with you because I firmly believe that the world is in this paradigm shift. And what we are being called to do now is to live in the state of the open heart. So I'm going to explain this to you in terms of the chakra system, okay? Because we have seven chakras, basically. So we have our lower chakras. Well, right here at the third chakra, which is your gut, this is the place where power resides. It's also the place of duality. From here down, there's a lot of duality. There's a lot of objectivity. So at the third chakra, our consciousness is dealing with duality. It's dealing with have and have not. It's dealing with all the power struggles, all of the ways in which we try to gain control of the external world. You see, I have learned that intelligence is not a part of the brain. Intelligence is contained in the energy system of the chakras. So when our intelligence basically is centered around this duality, it's coming from the third chakra. Because we look into our world and we say, not me, me, not me. I truly understand now that there is only one presence and one power, and we are that. We are that. We start out from the allness of God, and then we individuate. And when we do that, we begin to say, not me, me, and not me. And we are the ones drawing the boundaries. We are the ones cutting ourselves off. So when we become spiritually awakened, we begin to see that everything is the one presence and one power, and it's manifesting in our consciousness. So there is not a single person on the face of the earth that is not me. Now, a lot of you people out there are having experiences that I don't have to have, and you're having them for my sake. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you. But we all are one. In order to move out of duality and to move out of this place where we're struggling for empowerment all the time, struggling for to make some sense out of what our life is appearing as, we have to break through into the heart chakra. And there's even the physical diaphragm here that divides our body this way. So we break through the heart chakra, and we learn to keep it open. Now, when we're centered here, our intelligence and our consciousness, our awareness is centered here, the heart chakra is opening and closing and opening and closing. And this information, by the way, is coming from Leslie Temple Thurston, who lives in Albuquerque, is a great spiritual teacher. So the heart is opening, closing, and opening, closing. We meet someone that we really like, or we see a beautiful sunset, and the heart opens up, and we just feel peace and gratitude and love and joy. And then the next thing you know, we found we bounced a check, or somebody said something that wasn't true, or who knows what, and then the heart closes. So we have this human experience of open, close, back and forth, and we're centered in duality. That's how we know this is where our consciousness is. It's in these lower realms. When we break into the heart chakra, we learn that love is within us. It is a state of consciousness. It is a state of being. Everything that is arising in our consciousness. Someone that we think we've fallen in love with is merely helping to reflect our open heart. The experience is ours. We can choose to stay in that experience. And the more we choose to stay in that experience, we learn to live with unconditional love, in that state of unconditional love. It has no object. It needs no object. Now, from here up, we have the fourth chakra, the heart chakra. We have the fifth chakra, the throat chakra. And then we have the third eye, the sixth chakra. So we're now in a different paradigm. The heart begins to empower the voice and the vision and the vision. There have been studies done with heart math. Many of you know about heart math. Okay, look it up. It's great stuff. There's an institute that studies the energy of the heart. They did a study where they, you know, connected people to all these wires, their brain and their heart, and they're measuring the electromagnetic strength that's coming out. And they learned that the heart is 5,000 times more powerful in the signals that it sends than the mind, than the brain. So they have these people hooked up, and they have a computer in front of them that's randomly generating pictures. And they were going to measure the strength of the reaction between the mind and, not the mind, the brain and the heart. But what they discovered is that the heart knew and reacted just a fraction before that actual picture appeared. So one minute there would be a picture of a baby smiling, you know, and you'd feel, aww. And then there would be a snake with his mouth open coming straight at you. That would be the next image. But you never knew. It could be several. And they determined that the heart had already reacted before the image appeared. Now, when I learned that, I thought, that is fascinating. And it's fascinating because I look at it and I think, God is love, right? God is love. When I think of God and I try to define God, I go to the unified field of intelligence. That's That's how I see it. I'm one of these quantum physics people that it's a unified field of intelligence, one presence and one power, everywhere present, whose vibration is love. Its vibration is love. That is the energy of it. The heart is connected to this unified field far more than just our rational mind alone. So when we are able to sustain that open heart, we have a direct connection to this unified field of intelligence and love. And that's how we thrive through deep change. We're not going to figure it out with our minds. We can't figure it out with our minds alone anymore. With this heart connection, we have the development of the intuitive powers, the knowing instantly without having the evidence of knowing. We begin to develop our psychic abilities, which are latent in all of us. And we begin to actually see the boundaries dissolve. And this is where the birth of mysticism begins to occur in our own experience. When the heart is open and is sustained as an open heart, we come into that unified consciousness. We come into unity consciousness, which I believe is what Jesus was describing when he was describing the kingdom of heaven. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and everything else will be added. When we are able to live with a sustained open heart in that state of unconditional love, in that state of objectless love, then we are connected to the greater dimensions. We no longer live just in time and space. We live in multi-dimensions. And we live and move and have our being in an awesome, miraculous universe. I believe this is what we're being called to evolve into. It's time to embody what we have taught for so long. It's time to stand up and pay attention and open up so that something new can be birthed through us. So when we talk about 2012, we talk about birthing a new humanity, yes. And it happens on every level. We are birthing ourselves anew. We're birthing new relationships in community, how we come together and interact with each other. There is that namaste, and it's not just a gesture. It's a feeling. It's an experience. Life is only felt. We will never have richer, deeper experiences by thinking about it. We must step into the surrender and the present moment heart energy. This is why I'm so excited to be working on a national level and on a global level with Unity, because I want to call every Unity person, I want to invite them into this new paradigm, into this new awareness from which all blessings flow. I guess that's it. So let's just breathe now. Breathe. The breath is beautiful. We take it in and we release it. We take it in. It cleanses us. And then we release it, and we're back right here where we've never, ever left, which is the present moment. How sweet it is to come together and to feel our oneness, and to see our diversity. And to praise the one presence and the one power for all the gifts. For each new moment that configures itself according to what we call into manifestation. So as we rest here, we are willing to let go what no longer serves us completely without fear, because we have absolute faith in what is being birthed through us. We are only here to serve God. And in serving God, we are blessed immensely. All that we seek to create, to be, to experience, occurs naturally from out of the emptiness that we become when we release ego. Out of that emptiness arises the fullness, the awareness of God everywhere present as intelligence, wisdom, love, compassion, the ability to forgive, to release, to start over again. How can we be anything other than grateful? So we give thanks this morning for this beautiful church, for this spiritual community of people drawn here by divine appointment. We bless the work that is being done through this community that touches person to person, eventually every person in the world. Each one of us is a vortex of spirit, an opening for all of the peace and the love and that divine security that comes from knowing nothing can diminish or take away what we are. So thank you, Blessed Spirit, for all of the transformation that is taking place in our lives. From your presence right here, this moment, we receive all that we need. The Christ presence, the essence of who we are, radiates from us and goes before us to make every crooked way straight. It is a joy to walk this path. And as we see this for ourselves, we see it for every human being in the world. Let there be peace on earth. Let joy be felt by people. Let love be the sea of vibration in which we live and move and have our being. This is our prayer. This is our decree. And so it is, and so we let it be. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen.